somebody speak out in English. We believe that's found in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, called the gift of tongues and interpretation, which is there for to encourage or to build up those that are in that place at that time. I believe this morning we got some encouraging words that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he is a healer and he wants to heal. And so some encouraging words. If you have any questions about that, feel free to talk to the guest services table and they will connect you with the information you need, or come and talk to me and we can help you, hopefully answer any questions you might have. Let's turn our Bibles together. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We often talk about when we're in church or talking with other believers about the experience of listening to the Holy Spirit or being led of the Holy Spirit. When we give our life to Jesus, when we gave it to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came inside of us and lives inside of us to help us to live for Jesus. We're going to get to Galatians, so hang on to that spot. I'm going to read another one first. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He's anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So all true followers of Jesus have the Holy Spirit in them. Now there's a separate unique experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that's a message for another day. We're talking about the Holy Spirit being inside every one of us as believers. There's a guy that was in the Arabian desert. And he was known that he could guide people through the desert and he never got lost. What he would do is he would carry a homing pigeon. Can you imagine walking through the desert? There is no landmarks, just hills of sand. That's all you see. How do you find your way? This is before compass and GPS. He didn't have any of those. So how do you know where you're going? How do you find your way when all you see is sun and sand? Now, some people right now would like to see some sun and sand. But as he's walking through, and he would find it, and he was confused about where to go. What he had done is he was carried a homing pigeon with him and tied a very fine cord around its legs. So every time he'd go through the desert and every hill looked the same and he wasn't sure which way he was going, he would throw the pigeon into the air and it would get high enough and it would start to try to fly towards home. And then he would know where to go. Because of this unusual practice, he was known as the Dove Man. Interesting that the Holy Spirit came down from heaven like a dove and landed on Jesus. The dove of the Holy Spirit is teaching us, is guiding us, he's convicting us of sin, he's strengthening us, all these things to do to help us to live for Jesus. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading us. Are we following? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says these things. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. Well, fornication, it means sexual relations before marriage. Uncleanness, lewdness, a perversion in your language and telling dirty jokes. Adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath or anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, which would mean drunken parties, and the like. of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are the things of the flesh. These are the things that are sinful nature that are drawn to because of the sin way back in Adam and Eve, and we keep doing ourselves. And these are the things that keep pulling us away from what God wants. They are opposite to the Holy Spirit that God has put inside of us. They're opposed to it. So any true follower of Jesus should not be doing those things. Because if you're doing those things, it says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means you're not going to be going to heaven. So, the way to keep from that kind of stuff in our lives is to allow the Holy Spirit in us to take control of us. What are the signs? What are the evidence that that's happening? Well, you might think, well, the Holy Spirit's in me. How do I know if he's in control? How do I know that he's doing what I want him to do? How do I know that he's leading me in the direction I should go? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Interesting, love. Love has got to be one of the most abused words I've heard today. Hey, haven't you seen that? I don't know about you, but I seen a bumper sticker. I love my car. Hey, now the one I really don't get it. I love my cat. Who loves cats? Anyways, no, I'm not going to go there. Hey, super, super funny story. Chris likes cats, okay? I don't know if she loves cats, but she likes cats. Super funny story. She goes to a yard sale. Wouldn't you know it, she comes home with a six-week-old cat. It's a kitten, she said. It's a poor excuse for a cat is what it is. Anyways, okay. So she brings home this six-week-old kitten, and as we're there, we're bringing it home, and do you understand that I have a rather large dog in my house who was not raised with cats or kittens? And so she thought this was a chew toy? Maybe a retrieving dummy. And so we're trying to introduce the two, and this little cat was raised with dogs. No fear of dogs whatsoever. And so my dog gets closer and closer, and the cat goes over to it, and the dog starts whining. She's like, let me eat it. No. And she's sitting there, and the cat walks over and starts rubbing its nose against it, and the dog's just starting to drool, you know. It's like freaking out. Hits it in his face, everything. Finally, the cat gets bored because the dog's not doing anything. Walks away, gets underneath the couch. The dog can't take it anymore. She loses it. She runs over, grabs a cat from behind the couch, brings it out. The cat's laying there in her mouth. Chris was very calm. My cat! My cat! My cat! She's killing my cat! She's freaking right out. I said, calm down, calm down. She's not killing it. She's retrieving it. Release. She drops the cat in my mouth. The cat looks there and looks at me with a big smile on its face. Everything was fine. But the cat didn't survive. Not because of the dog. Because it started climbing on Chris's curtains. She found a new home for this wonderful cat that she liked. But love. How many things do we say that we love and that we use this all the time? If you do what I want, I will love you. If I like it, I love it. And it's so abused, it's so misused. And really, most of the time, it's all about us. We define love, but whatever makes us feel good, whatever we like. In the Greek, there was four words for the one word that we use for love, and the one that's referred to here is called agape love. It was the deepest kind of love. It was love from the heart, from the mind, from the emotion. It was sincere, deliberate, and it was constant. Agape love was not based on any kind of expectations of someone else. It was not based on any kind of rules, or it had no strings attached at all. It was unconditional love. Now, this is what it's talking about here. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So the Bible, how do we define, or how do we get an example of agape love? Well, I think we can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Well, I mean, already we're failing, right? How many people fail with the first one? Love is patient. Okay. Love is kind. Does not envy. Doesn't boast. Not proud. Not rude. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a lot less like agape love the more I read this. Not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Loves not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Agape love never fails. That sounds easy, doesn't it? Yeah, right. That's the kind of love it's referring to here, that if the Holy Spirit's in us and moving in us, then we are going to have more of this kind of love in our hearts for other people. You will say, well, I can love God like that, but it's hard for me to love other people like that. You don't know the people I go to school with, the people I work with, the people that live beside me. You don't know the people I'm related to. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother and sister is a liar. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen can't love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must love their brother and sister. Brother and sister not just mean biological, right? Fellow believers. Fellow creations. God created all of us. He loves all of us the same. He doesn't love us more because we're here this morning in church. Then he loves the guy that who's not here this morning in church, who doesn't even know him yet. He loves us all the same. And he wants us to love our brothers and sisters. Loving others and loving Jesus is loving Jesus. That's what it is. When we love others, we are showing love towards Jesus because we are his creation. It's not a suggestion that we should do this. It's a requirement that God wants. And in case you're wondering, it's not your responsibility to make sure your family member loves more, that your friend loves more, your fellow believers love more. Your responsibility is to love more and to receive the love that's given to you. So that's one of the fruit. If the Holy Spirit's at work in us, that's one of the things we should see more of in our life. People should see that we are loving more. Here's another one. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. There was this monk, or this man who decided that he was going to be a monk, and he took a vow of silence. So after the first 10 years of not saying anything, he was asked by his superior, "Do you have anything that you want to say?" He said, "Food bad." So now he is a vow of silence. He has another 10 years where he hasn't said anything. And at the end of the 10 years, his supervisor comes to him again and says, "Do you have anything like this said?" He goes, "Bed hard." So once again, it's his vow of silence. He doesn't say anything. Another 10 years goes by. This is 30 years now. He goes, the superior goes to him and says, "Do you have anything you want to say?" The monk said, "I quit." His supervisor looks at him and says, "I'm not surprised. You haven't done anything but complain the whole time you've been here." I don't know, have you ever met a Christian who is always sad, always down, always upset, always negative? Maybe you are that person. Can I just give you a suggestion? Complaining kills joy. Complaining kills joy. Hey, I get it. You know something? The food may be bad. Hey, I don't know about you, but I feel bad for you because around my house, the food is never bad. We always try to encourage Chris to do a restaurant. But one challenge with Chris's cooking, she doesn't have recipes. She just creates. And about 5 years ago, she created this potato soup that was so good that I want to patent it. And I begged her for years and years and years to recreate that. She can't remember how she did it. And she keeps making this new type of potato soup, which is really, really good. But my mind is still stuck on this first one. She does such a good job. But I get it. Sometimes in life, food's bad. Beds are hard. Life is not good. It's not fun. It's stressful. It's just not good. But see, joy is not based on circumstances. The taste of the food or how hard the bed is. It's not based on material things at all. In fact, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 says this. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping and they were listening to the words of the law." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy yourself, choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. What is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is not based on circumstances, things we have, or things around us, or if you're freezing rain this morning, if you're sliding down the driveway. It's not based on those kind of things. It's based on Jesus. Jesus dying for us, having hope in Jesus, and that the things around us, even though we can't figure them out and we can't control them and they're not happening the way we want to, we know Jesus can. It's being thankful for the blessings that we have and not complaining about the ones we don't. It's realizing that this world is not perfect, but heaven is. It doesn't have the expectation for this life to be perfect and easy and fun all the time, because this is not heaven. We got to stop trying to make this world heaven. This is not heaven. Heaven is in a completely different place. Our daughter is going to have a baby anytime. And we are anxiously waiting for this baby to arrive. Now, I think she may be on time, but I think she's late. She should be here already. I want to see this little baby. You know something, the weather has been unseasonably cold and miserable, and life has been stressful and super busy for us, and lots of things going on. But you know something, it doesn't matter. We just are waiting for the baby to arrive. We have our eyes on the baby. When the Spirit grows in us, it causes us to focus on Jesus and his promises and not on all the other stuff going on around us. Here's another fruit. So we should have more joy in our life, and the Holy Spirit working us, we allow him to work in us, he's going to draw our attention to Jesus and our hope in him, and not on away from all the other stuff that's killing our joy. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. How do we define peace? Lack of conflict? Lack of trouble, problem-free, stress-free. Anybody here like a stress-free life? Wow, nobody? Okay, fine. You can live like that. I would like a stress-free one. That's how we define it. But this peace, when the Holy Spirit brings, when we let him have control of our life, that peace comes and gives us peace in the storm. He gives us peace in the problems. Peace when there is stress going on around us. I was just talking to somebody this week, going through a really difficult time. Their younger brother just passed away 2 weeks ago from cancer. He suffered with it for 8 years. He was only 39 years old. They're not a believer. And as I'm talking to them, I'm encouraging them, I'm trying to help them, and I'm mostly just listening to them. And when I listen to somebody who's telling me what's going on in their life, this is what I do. I'm listening to them to hear what they say, and I'm saying, Jesus, what do you want me to say to them? How can I help them? What do they need to hear from you? And they're just talking with me and listening to me, and they know what I do. They know I'm a Christian, and they're not, and they don't believe in that. They don't really believe in, they know about lots of religions, don't believe in really adhere to any religion. And they said to me, I don't know how you Christians do it. You're always smiling, and life is so hard. At that moment, I just encouraged them, you know, talk to Jesus about it. He cares. Just pray to him. Just ask him. He'll help you through that. And I had a chance to stand with them and to pray with them. Actually, I prayed with them actually many times before. But see, they could see the peace in me. And not just me. They didn't say you. They said you Christians. So they've seen other Christians who had peace in them. Even though life was hard and wasn't going well and wasn't easy, they could see that peace. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's just about impossible. Now, do you guys live in the same world I live in? Listen, I don't know what kind of job you got, but I want your job because your job seems a lot easier than mine. Or how about we just switch lives because your life seems a lot easier than mine, because when I say these things, you act like you don't have no problems with this. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's not saying here that life is easy, that life is fun, that there won't be things to worry about. But when that stuff comes, bring it to God with thanksgiving. God, I thank you that I can go to you. I thank you that I'm not going through this alone. I know I'm going to go through this, but I'm not going through this alone. I have you with me to bring me through this. And when you give it to him, and I mean give it to him, what happens is that some kind of supernatural peace that comes from the Holy Spirit comes over you, that even though you're in the middle of the storm, you're not sure how it's going to pan out in the end, but you know that God's got you in this. That you're not alone in it, and you don't know how it's going to work out, but he's going to bring you through it. He's going to take care of you. Peace in the storm depends on God, not ourselves. Doesn't depend on other people or the circumstances. In Romans chapter 15, verse 33, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. See, God can give you peace because he is the God of peace. And one of the names of Jesus was Prince of Peace. I'm telling you, this is a pretty good guy to give us peace, because he's the God of peace and even the Prince of Peace. It says in John 16, 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. So if you're looking for a trouble-free world, you're in the wrong place. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. The world has trouble, but Jesus overcome the world. And so that, remember what he said at the beginning? I told you these things so that in me you will have peace. not in your job, not in your marriage, not in your friendships, not in your finances, not in your friends, but in Jesus you will have peace. If you're looking to get peace from anywhere else, forget it. Won't work. In Jesus is where peace is found. See, most often we can't control the things going on around us, but we can control the thing going on in us by giving it to Jesus and surrendering over to the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So peace. You'll see more of that in your life as you are giving yourself to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22. Here's another one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Somebody says here, I got that one covering because I've been suffering a long time. That is not what it means. Long-suffering is also interpreted patience or persistence. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it, not giving up. Not giving up. If you were going to put a warning label around praying for patience, it would say something like this. When praying for patience, the possibility side effects are trouble, trials, stress, and hard times. Because those are the things that help produce patience. So be careful praying for patience. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I mean, come on. Like these guys, when they talk, they got to use better words. Like, seriously? Do they expect people to believe that, to do that? Count it all joy when you have lots of problems. Serious? That's what he said. That's what we're supposed to strive towards. But it's not joy in the trials and the troubles. We've got to get our head out of that. That's not where we find the joy. The joy is in this. We know that the testing of our faith produces patience. It's knowing that it's going to produce something good in us or out of us. Believe it or not, Jesus uses our troubles, trials, and problems to produce patience in our life. Do people irritate us? Man, like you guys all saints? Am I preaching to a bunch of angels this morning? Like you guys are in heaven and I'm not? What's the deal here? Okay, God, there's something wrong here. Do people irritate us? What's taking them so long? I'm sure no spouse said that this morning. Why don't they understand? Why are they so different? If everybody was just like me, we'd be in a better place. Now, it may be a better place for you. I don't know about everybody else. It says, Romans chapter 15, verse 5. May the patience and encouragement that come from God allow you to live in harmony with each other the way Jesus Christ wants. See, patience that comes from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit at work in us, helps us to live in harmony. Are we constantly in the state of conflict with other people? That wasn't in my notes. I don't know why I said that. Could it be that it's because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to bring patience in our life? You see, I think we lose patience and give up on people way too soon. The more we allow the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, the more patient that we will become with other people. Right? So you have to understand, when they're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, lots of these fruit were referring to how we respond to one another. It wasn't just how we are perfecting ourselves. No, it's how we those fruit come out and in our response to other people in our life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, and patience. When we were younger, my mom used to take us strawberry picking. We go out there, what you do it back. I don't know if you're, I was going to say old enough. I don't like using that word anymore. If you've been around long enough, you might remember the time that your parents liked to do preserves. Back in those days, nobody had a lot of money, so they would get all the fresh fruit, they would put them in things, and they would preserve. We were child labor. In fact, today, they would not be allowed. They would be in trouble for treating us the way they did when we were younger, making us do all these preserves and everything, and all my friends are out playing in the fun, and I'm working like a slave over this hot, oh, my, anyways, okay. I was not very good at helping my mom strawberry picking, because I always picked under the 1-2 method. Pick one, eat two. Pick one, eat two. And everybody else was working faster and had all this stuff. And what's taking so long, Paul? I'm trawling as fast as I can, Mom. Right? And hey, the two were always the biggest, fattest, juiciest ones. And the little ones went in the basket. Okay. As disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus, he wants us to produce fresh fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm sure there's at least one of those that we could improve on. We could allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. Maybe there's more than one. I would encourage you to pick one of those. Look at one of those that are there and say, where do you want to work in my life this week? Maybe it's going to take longer than a week. Maybe it's going to take longer than a month. Whatever it takes, Holy Spirit, do what you got to do. Help me use those fruits in response to other people. Help me to be more loving to other people. Help me to be more joy when I'm responding to other people, when people look at me. Help me to have a sense of peace around so people can see it in my life. Have me more patient with other people. Producing that. Don't try to do it by yourself. Forget it. If you're going to try to love people more on your own, you're done. Right? Because sometimes people just are awful. What kind of people you got in your life? Are they all angels? Man, I got some people in my life, they're just not fun. They don't live in my house, so, okay. You don't know people like that? You don't work with people like that? Trying to love people like that or be responding like people like that on your own, you're going to flop and fail every time. But the Holy Spirit in you can do something miraculous and produce fresh fruit in your life, but you have to surrender to him. Allow him to do that. So when you pray, Lord, this is the one I think you're leading me to. I got to have more joy. I don't have enough joy, so I think you want me to have more joy. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring more joy in my life, and that I would have the joy of the Lord. As I look, when things go crazy around me, that I will not look at the crazy things, but I look at you and I know, hey, I got that hope in you. And allow him to work that in your life. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. We thank you for touching us and leading us and guiding us. Lord, we know that we often struggle to just be surrendered over to you. So now, right now, we invite you. In fact, if you want to say this with me, you can say that. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to produce his fruit in our life. So if you want to do that with me, I would encourage you to do that right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I invite you now to produce more fruit, your fruit, in my life. In Jesus' name. So Lord, we invite you by the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to help us, to stretch us, to be more loving, to be patient, to have more joy, to have that peace that only you can bring by your Holy Spirit, that I would grow in our life. Just keeping your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. If you're here this morning, we've talked about the Holy Spirit being your life and the Holy Spirit coming in your life after you've committed your life to Jesus. Well, maybe you're sitting here and say, well, I haven't done that yet. I haven't committed my life to Jesus, so the Holy Spirit can't work in me. And you want to do that this morning? I would encourage you right now just to do that. The simple prayer we can say together. Just follow it between you and God after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. In my life right now, I surrender. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer, the Holy Spirit is in you right now, and he wants to produce this kind of fruit. There's other things on your journey as a new believer in Jesus that you're going to have questions about and want to know. So we have a Bible and some information we'd love to give to you with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer, just quickly raise your hand. We'll make sure we give it to you. If there's anyone, just quickly raise your hand. Yes, thank you. Is there anyone else? Maybe you said that prayer, but you didn't raise your hand. You can still pick up that Bible information at the guest services table. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you are true, that you are here today. We just give ourselves to you afresh and anew. For those that said that prayer, Lord, that they would grow in you, that the Spirit would be in them, that they would produce the fruit of the Spirit in their life. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you glory for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd like us to stand together and just take a moment, just as they're going to lead us in a song, the team, and to allow yourself to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's going to be speaking to you about what he wants to work in you this coming week and even beyond that, what fruit he wants to produce more of in your life. So let's just worship Jesus just for a moment before we go.